today we have performers and directors and other dignitaries of Kenai Performers Show, Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka, which premieres tomorrow night. And I want to be clear, we have to say exactly Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka, because apparently there are a million different versions of this performance. Terry Burdicht is one of the directors. Why don't you tell me a little bit first, tell our listeners, which version you're doing? Is it from the book? Is it from the Gene Wilder movie? Is it from the Johnny Depp movie? Is it from either of the two stage plays that have been produced?
Yes. It is.
Okay.
So the book, Roald Dahl's book that was first written in 1969 was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And so this is the 55th anniversary of the publishing of the book. And then there was a movie made with Gene Wilder in 1971, which most people of my generation remember and love and admire. Then in 2005, the Johnny Depp version came out, movie, which another generation became familiar with. And there's been a couple of Broadway plays, musicals done, and one was called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And this particular licensing on this one is the Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka.
Ah, you know, speaking of the Gene Wilder version, him walking out for the first time. I'll never forget that. I saw that probably when I was 10 years old. And he comes walking out, stumbling, and then he just goes, whoof, rolls, and pops up, and he's Willy Wonka all of a sudden.
There's actually a story about how that happened. So when he
and this
went...
Donna Schoenberg, who is the other director. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So actually, there is a story. Gene Wilder went to auditions, and the director, the minute he walked in, knew that he was going to be, that's who he wanted as Willy Wonka. He read and instantly left the studio. The director chased him down and said, "You have to be my Willy." He said, Gene Wilder said, "Let me read the script." He came back and he said, "I will be your Willy Wonka on one condition. I get to walk out with a cane and act old and decrepit, and then I get to do a somersault and greet
really?
The contestants." And that is how that happened in the movie.
Wow. Why did he want to do that?
I think that was his signature move and how he was going to portray Willy Wonka.
Ah.
Okay. He's kind of a prankster, jokester, kind of, you never know sure how to read him.
Right. Right. And, you know, the few times in the movie where he turns very serious, I mean, he's kind of scary.
Yes.
In the movie.
Well, he's been trapped with the Oompa Loompas for years and years. How would you react to real people?
Oh, man. Remind me to ask about Oompa Loompas again later. We should introduce the other two folks who are in the studio. We have Sarah Hondell, who it turns out to be Terry's daughter, but do you have some sort of role in this, or are you just coming along for the ride?
Yes, I do have a role. It's my first time on the stage with Kenai Performers for their big spring musical, and I play one of the parents of a nasty child. Ooh. Who doesn't know their manners. So I play the character of Mrs. Bogard, and she's more commonly known as Violet's mother. So my daughter is the gum-chewing prodigy.
And you're wearing the violet-colored sweatshirt today.
That's correct.
Yeah. And also, we have over here Robert Lewis. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine.
What character do you play?
So I play Grandpa Joe. who has a pretty substantial role, so there was a lot of preparation to go into doing this. In addition, I'm also not like 85 like he's supposed to be, so got to use a little bit of stage magic to make it happen, mask the voice, act a little older than I am. I feel that old sometimes, but...
You should see me at 4:30 in the morning. Well, give me a little bit of that voice.
Well, I could give a sneak preview, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's pick a line here. Charlie, can you imagine winning? Yeah, little older than that, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah,
trying to do a little more gravelly, a little slower, probably.
Sure.
But you'll have to go see the show to experience the full magic. So.
Okay, folks, when you see Grandpa, was it Charlie? No,
Grandpa Joe.
When you see Grandpa Joe out there, and you're expecting a tiny little frail old man. This guy is 6'2" and 185 pounds. Okay, so you are going to see a real transformation on the screen, I imagine.
Yeah, and there's going to be lots of people up there, so I think I do a pretty good job of fitting in. So,
mm-hmm. That's great. The Oompa Loompas.
Oompa Loompas.
Who did you get for Oompa Loompas? Are they all kids?
No.
Oh, okay.
We have Oompa Loompas in every size, age, both genders, and they are fabulous with their fluffy green hair and their chocolate-covered shirts and their white trousers.
Wow. How many are there?
22.
Okay. Do they do all the Oompa Loompa songs and stuff?
They have 5 dances and songs throughout the musical, and they are spectacular. They are so cute and have some attitude.
Uh-huh.
Of course they have attitude. They're Oompa Loompas.
Before I forget, I want to give out the phone number here, 283-8414. If you have any questions, and we may have a surprise for you if you call. I'm not trying to buy your phone calls or anything here, but we might have special gifts for you if you call with, I guess it's got to be a good question. Can't just be, what's the capital of Ohio or something. Something about Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka. And by the way, can we explain what a Roald Dahl is? it's easy when you see it written down, but when you just hear it on the radio and it sounds like a doll that has been rolled. But it's this guy's name, and he's from somewhere.
He was from Great Britain. He was from Great Britain. Roald Dahl wrote quite a few children's classic books. Of course, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was one. Matilda is another one. James and the Giant Peach is yet another one. So The Twits is another one. The Witches. He wrote quite a few. And he was also married to an American actress, Patricia O'Neill, for quite some time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
she's one of my favorite actresses from the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
Holy cow. So. And I didn't know he had done James and the Giant Peach, too.
Yep.
You know what? This ever since I spoke with you setting this show up, something has been in my mind about this story. And I realized that my third grade teacher read us Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Well, that's great. Like I said, you look like you're about the same generation I am. And so, it became a classic children's book.
Yeah.
And
he did sequels, but they've never been produced, have they?
Well, so it is interesting, but the theater rights for Matilda the musical, have just been released. And so, and then last year, Kenai Central High did James and the Giant Peach as their school musical.
I think my teacher read that to us as well.
Yeah.
I wanted so much to live in Giant Peach and have all sorts of little hatchways and doors and, you know, a flock of seagulls flying us around the world.
He definitely had a good imagination, that's for sure.
Donna, you look like you're about to say something.
There are so many thoughts floating around in my head about this production.
Let them all out. How hard is this production? You know what? Actually, I asked Terry this morning, how hard is it to produce the big, giant musical in the middle of cold and flu season? That has been
a challenge. We have had the cast crud go through just about everyone, I think. They've all been down at some point during this production. Hopefully we'll all be healthy by tonight for dress rehearsal.
Schedule time in your schedule to account for this, or enough people or enough backups? I mean, it could be, you know, maybe we'll get bird flu one year and
oh, please.
It might be a one-man show up there.
Please bite your tongue.
We are talking community theater,
yes.
So
yeah.
We try our best. Everybody's, you know, telling everybody else remedies to keep healthy and drink lots of water, flush those germs out.
So. You guys should put out the Kenai Performers Winter Cold and Flu Survival Manual.
There you go.
Suggestions from all the people in the show. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of them have little lozenges stuck in different places for their voices.
Yeah, I've got a few stashed on me at all times, just in case.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. The do you? I mean, I can't imagine you have time on stage to chewing up, or can you?
No, not on stage. But I do try to take one before each of the shows. Just to kind of coat my throat ahead of time, which helps out a lot. There's actually a lot of science behind that. But drinking lots of water, staying hydrated is the most important healthy thing anyone can do for anything. So,
yeah, that's good advice. You know, I've been searching here on the internet while we've been talking. I shouldn't have brought up Oompa Loompa so early because... because the Oompa Loompa and the Johnny Depp version.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty scary, huh?
Yeah, but Deep Roy is his name. I finally found it. Deep Roy. He's from India. And he played every single Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, they just CG'd him.
But not only that, he recorded those to film, and then they had to composite it.
Yep.
So if he screwed one up, he had to do them all over again.
Yeah.
It was an astounding accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm glad our Oompas, you know, are many, and I'm sure they're happy they don't have to retake.
What are you coloring them with?
We're not coloring them. Yeah, so they have little rosy orange cheeks and bright green lips.
Oh.
But they have so many different things that they have to do. They have some very fast costume changes, and so to paint them all up would take, we couldn't get them undone if they were a squirrel or they were a cook or they were something else in the play. So they have multiple roles that they play.
Oh, I see. You mean the actors are playing
multiple
roles.
Yes, that are playing the Oompa Loompas.
Oh, okay. Huh. I never considered that.
Ensemble casts all often have multiple things that they do.
How many people are in the cast here?
42.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, well, but, you know, back in the Carol Ford days when we did the big musicals, we sometimes would have 75 to 80 people on stage. So
oh, yeah.
This is a small cast.
I remember her version of Music Man.
Yes.
And with all those kids out there. And, you know, I'd go to the some of the rehearsals and stuff, take pictures, you know, to interview people and stuff. And I was scared to death of that orchestra pit and all those kids parading back and forth. And I asked her how she did it. She said, well, you know, very first day, you know, she goes over, you know, the stage law, I guess. I don't know. I'm not an actor person, but I imagine
stay away from the pit.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. So the performances start tomorrow night. Is this the second or third time you folks have been doing Thursday openings, the economy night?
So we change over the years. This is the first time that we're doing two weekends with the Thursday, and both Thursdays are an economy night. You know, we try new things to see what will work to bring the people out, because really, it takes a lot of dollars to put on these musicals, and the only way that we get money to offset it is by ticket sales. So, you know, we want to see people come in and fill those seats.
Are you making much money on the sweatshirts? I mean, I imagine $40-$50 for one of those.
Well, mainly these are just cast sweatshirts and T-shirts. You ought to come out and try.
Oh, there, look at the stage fright right there.
Yeah, stage fright.
Loss of words.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know what the Major League Baseball does? Is they auction off game-worn jerseys.
Well, so we do have something kind of special. We've been doing some things kind of outside of the box this year. We have this beautiful quilt that one of our cast members' grandmother made, and it's part of the set. It covers the grandparents' bed, and we are raffling off that quilt. So if you come across a cast member, or we will also have tickets on sale during intermission, during the shows, but we're raffling off that quilt the last Sunday of the show. We will be raffling that off. So tickets are only $2. Each ticket, and it's a beautiful quilt. Wait till you see it.
Wow. I can't wait. That sounds great, actually.
It's the only nice thing in the Bucca House.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we stole it.
Or some really nice neighbor said, oh my gosh, they don't have a blanket. Here, have this quilt.
I had forgotten that the family name was Bucket.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, it reminded me of a 1970s or 80s British sitcom called Keeping Up Appearances. And their last name was Bucket. But the matriarch of the family sort of had higher aspirations. And she would correct people by saying, no, it's bouquet.
Yes.
There's no bouquet. Bouquet in the Bucket House.
We could use some bouquets, probably.
I'm pretty
We've been
sure
in bed
those,
a long time.
I'm pretty sure those socks above you stink.
Bad. So who is, are you prepared to reveal who is Willy Wonka? Or is that a secret?
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Willy Wonka this year is being played by Spencer McAuliffe, and many people probably are familiar with Spencer. He has been in many of Kenai Performers' productions. Last year during Shrek the Musical, he played the role of Donkey, and everybody just loved Spencer, and everybody's going to love Spencer again as Willy Wonka because he's really pretty nifty.
He was great as Donkey.
Yeah, he was.
Holy cow. Okay, so who's playing Charlie?
So, this is a surprise, and Donna, I'll tell you this one.
So, we cast a girl as Charlie, and she is not playing a boy. She's playing a girl. So, we have done a little bit of gender reversal on that role, and she's fabulous. And her name is Claire Henry. And last year in Trek, she was Little Fiona.
Ah, excellent, excellent. Did you what kind of changes did you have to make to accommodate the gender switch? I'm thinking back on the film and
he's and she's in the script. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and getting the cast to remember that, because you read it and it says he, it's hard in the beginning to switch all those to she's and hers, but they've done a great job.
It was really easy for me in the beginning because I have a daughter, excuse me, and a lot of the stories are about boys, and I was like, why does this main character have to be a boy? So when I read her stories, I switch he to she's all the time. Like, it doesn't matter. You get the same story whether the boy or the girl's a main cast member. So I was actually really excited that they have Charlie as a girl, because this will probably be the first Keen Air Performers performance that my daughter will remember seeing. So.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. You know what would have been really cool? If you had made him the grandmother. That would have been
I can do that too. I'd have to change the voice, though, but way less gravelly. So.
But probably not too much for Grandma Georgina.
That's true.
Because she's got a pretty fabulous big voice. Who is Yvette Tapana?
Ah, she does have a great voice.
She has a fabulous voice.
I remember her from The Wiz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was, I don't know, the Good Witch of the West or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, she had she could sing it.
Yeah, she's got a great voice. I mean, our grandparents are fabulous. We have Ken Duff as Grandpa George. And he's been in a lot of Kenai performers, or he's worked backstage on some of the big musicals. And then we have Sherry Johnson, who's Grandma Josephine, who is married to Grandpa Joe. And they're just all fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Who else? I mean, it sounds like a cast of thousands. I'm not going to test you to remember all their names the spot here.
Go ahead. So we have, so in the musical, there's both a Mr. and a Mrs. Bucket. So we have Karen Caldwell is playing Mrs. Bucket, and
Matt Boyle, who is a local musician around here, he is Mr. Bucket.
There really hasn't been any proposals yet. The way that Kenai Performers decides on what they're going to do is we have what's called a seasons committee that helps set the season for the next year. And anybody in the community that has ever directed a play and is interested in producing something with Kenai Performers can submit a proposal, and there's an actual form that you fill in with a proposed, you know, musical or whatever it is that you want to produce, and then a budget that, you know, covers and where you want to hosted at and that kind of stuff. That's submitted to the seasons committee, and the seasons committee will review it to look, you know, is this possible to be done? Does Kenai Performers have the budget to cover the budget that's being proposed? And then that committee will approve or not approve, and then it gets passed finally to the board of directors, who has the final vote on it and says, yep, we're going to do this. And they vote on it, and then it gets going. So right now, for next year, there has not been any formal proposals. Now, there's been lots of rumors going around, but, you know, I don't spread rumors. So sorry, Sharon.
We always enjoy repeat audience members, because every time you see a show, you see something different, because there's usually so much going on, it's hard to focus on everything at the same time. So thank you for that tip.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
283-8414, if you'd like to talk with the folks with Kenai Performers about Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka?
Probably the biggest differences between the book and the stage production would be, first of all, Charlie's being played by a girl, so gender of the main character. But also, some of the parents, it's been a while since I've read the book, but like in some of the parents, you know, there may have only been a Mr. or a Mrs. And so that's been switched a little bit around from the story. The storyline, though, basically is the same. Willy Wonka is getting ready to retire. And so he's looking for someone to pass his candy factory to. And so he puts out this contest that whoever finds a golden ticket, five golden ticket winners are going to take a tour of the factory. And after that factory tour is over, he is going to choose one to hand his factory over. So the main plot of the story is the same in both the book and the musical version.
Yeah. There is differences between the movie and the stage version. In the movie, there's a lot of music, but not a lot of singing. But they took that same music and they put words to it. So this, you will recognize the music, but they've added lyrics. And so that makes it very fabulous also, because they just expanded from from the movie to make it a musical.
I already confirmed with Robert earlier that Candyman is in it.
Yes, it is.
Which oddly, I mean, Sammy Davis Jr. was not in this movie.
No,
he was not.
And yet he is known for singing the song mostly. You know, probably from the Vegas stage. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's what we use to promote your guys' presentation.
There's a little bit of backstory that goes with just people of their stature that don't get credited for the roles. There were issues of that with the Munchkins and the Wizard of Oz as well. It's why great actors can be lesser known. Unfortunately, it was a big problem back in the time.
You know, while my guests are talking, I looked up Oompa Loompas on Wikipedia, and they have a list of the performers who played the Oompa Loompas in the 1971 film.
Well, and they did that with the Munchkins too. Later, they came out with that list, and as they passed away, they got recognition, but not at the time of the movie.
Right, right. And then, of course, in the 2005 movie, it was all one guy. Yeah. And that was CGI, for sure.
So both are Sunday performances, are matinee performances at 2 p.m.
I wish I had more tickets to give her.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give out the phone number until I get this question out.
Okay.
Though it was a lot about the music, really. But let me ask you about the golden tickets. You guys had a golden ticket promotion here this winter, didn't you? How'd that go?
And that was all the idea of Miss Terry Burdick.
All right. Terry, tell us about it.
So when I was doing research and props and all of this kind of stuff, you know, the thing that I kept seeing was the Wonka chocolate bar, and I thought, oh yeah, well, we're going to have to make, you know, a lot of those, because it is, after all, Charlie and the based on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So while Dawn and I were talking over different ideas and stuff, I said, well, you know, we're going to need to make up these bars. And then all of a sudden I said, what if we put some golden tickets in it and sold them, just like in the book? So right before Thanksgiving, we thought, what a perfect time. You know, Christmas is coming. People may want to buy tickets for Willy Wonka, but these chocolate bars would be just fabulous, and we would put some golden tickets in it that would be redeemable for a ticket to get into the show. So we purchased originally 300 large size chocolate bars and started selling those, and they were going like hotcakes. And River City Books over in Soldotna, Peggy over there said, the day I was going to go ask her if she wouldn't mind selling them, she met me in the parking lot and said, I have an idea. Why don't we sell those here in the store? So we've sold a lot of Wonka chocolate bars, and they are still for sale. So they're... is still a chance that you could, you know, be one of those lucky winners. And
wait,
so,
are you saying there is outstanding golden tickets out there?
There are some outstanding.
Yes, and so chocolate bars are still on sale at three places, not only at River City Books over in Soldotna, but also at Soldotna Professional Pharmacy and at Curtain Call Consignment Boutique here in Kenai.
Oh, man. How many tickets are left?
Well, so far I've only had five people that have identified themselves to us. And there may be some winners out there that just haven't yet identified themselves. But we have hidden 12 tickets so far.
Oh.
So.
Oh, man. So could they just walk up to the door with one of those, or do they need to do anything beforehand?
So on the golden ticket, it tells them that, you know, they need to present the golden ticket at the box office, or, you know, if they have questions, to give me a call, you know, and that kind of stuff. But, yeah.
They don't have to give it up, do they? I mean...
No, we would allow them to keep the golden ticket as souvenir. And we probably will be selling souvenir Wonka bars during intermission, during the shows.
Sounds great. What could be better than chocolate in February?
There you go.
Everyone needs chocolate in February.
I tell you. Especially with the snow that is here and is going to come.
And, you know, we really need to give some shout-outs to some other people that we haven't talked about.
Please.
We have Kent Peterson and the Fabulous Orchestra in the Pit. We have Audra Ferris, who's our vocal director, and also an Oompa Loompa. And we have Terry Zoff-Schessler, who is our choreographer. So she's done a fabulous job. Choreographing the Oompa Loompas and some of the other little things that happen on stage. And she's Mrs. Gloop.
Oh.
So she's Augusta Gloop's mom. So man. Everybody has multiple roles within the...
How does it work with two directors? You guys make decisions together on everything, or do you guys split up things and go your own ways?
I think there's a little bit of both. Terry and I started this process a long time ago, April, May. And then we met weekly and kind of roughed out what we wanted it to look like, made some plots and plans. But when it comes down to the decisions, she and I always try to talk to each other and then are a united front when we... and we bring different things to the table.
Mm-hmm.
She's done a lot of costumes. She's an actor. She's done props. She's done producing, which is not my favorite. I've done lights and sound and some different things. So we bring different things, stage managing. And so together we make one person. And it's nice, our first time, this is the first time either one of us have done something this big.
Oh.
So it's nice to have someone to bounce ideas off of and have the support.
Sure. What's the producing aspect beyond directing on a play this on this level? What does that entail?
So the producing is big. Usually the producer takes care of all of the money. They look at the budget that's been submitted, and so they take care of things like getting the tickets printed, getting the programs out there, printed and put together, posters put up, advertising, make sure that, you know, spots are arranged like this, guest spots and that kind of stuff. Or like last week we did a 5-school tour with some of our cast. The producer goes around to the ticket vendors and drops off the tickets and then regularly picks up monies for the tickets. So the producer has a really, really big role in that. And I've not really been credited as being the producer. Last year I did kind of pick up some of the duties because the producer that we had earmarked to be producer or couldn't do it. So some of us in the cast kind of just got together and said, well, these duties need to be done. And so, you know, it's kind of been learned by trial, but yeah, it's big.
And we do have a producer for this, and that is Rebecca Gilman. But she's also Mrs. TV. And so once again, we have lots of duties that have been spread out because it's really hard to be on stage and do all of the background stuff.
Right, right. How do you decide who does more than one role instead of just getting another actor? Is it a supply and demand issue or?
Well, so I remember taking a wonderful director's workshop with Carol Ford back in the days before I decided, do I even want to ever direct? And she had some really good tips. And one of the biggest things that a director looks at is the picture that's on the stage. You know, we're telling this wonderful story on stage. And so we're looking for a look, usually a vision. And so when we hold auditions and we're looking for people to fill these roles, sometimes it's like, well, this person would be perfect for this, but, you know, their vocal skills maybe aren't so great. But what if we cast them in this role and maybe double cast them over in this role too? So looking at, you know, their abilities and the look is really important in a lot of it, although not always, because sometimes you can take somebody that maybe doesn't have the vocals, and, you know, if they've got the great acting ability, maybe that will, you know, compensate for it. So there's a lot of things that we look at.
I mean, even one of our reasons for pursuing Mr. McAuliffe as Willy Wonka was because of his height. So we could cast bigger children because he's tall. So that look that we wanted, we could have older, bigger children than were in the original.
Ah, I see. Huh. You know, I signed up for that very same Carol Ford director's class. After the first night, I knew there was no way I could do any of this in any competent way, shape, or form, and she was kind enough to give me a refund.
Aww.
But yeah, there's one class, and I'm just like, they have to do all of that?
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
I thought it was just telling people, talk louder, and you over there.
That is part of it. This much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was the other, right. Big bunch that just, it put the fear of God in me, really. It's like, I can't do this.
Well, the more talented your cast is, the more general you can be with your directions, because a lot of these other actors are veterans of the stage.
That's true.
Which has really helped me a lot. This is only my second performance, so I've been able to take a lot from people like Ian and Spencer and Audra. And it's really helped me just expand and learn more about how I like to be presented on stage. So,
what got you into wanting to do musical theater here?
So I have a friend who I met when I moved here 10 years ago, Chris Pepper, who Robert Pepper I know is associated, obviously. who is on the on KDLL occasionally. So he was part of the Keynote Performers, and we met, and we kind of got along, and I'm kind of goofy, he's kind of goofy, so he's like, man, you'd be really great doing this, and finally took his advice 7 years later when they started to do Shrek the Musical, because I was like, oh, that's something I recognize, that's something I can do, you know? And so I had a few assorted roles there and got hooked right away. Went to auditions as soon as I could for this one, and it's been really great. Just getting to know the people there, made a lot of more great friends in Kenai Performers.
Had you done much singing before?
Yeah, so I was in choir in high school, and I did a few theater productions then. We didn't really have a theater program. What we had was the Motion Sensors dance troupe, and they decided to expand some of the roles into more singing. So for instance, they wanted to do West Side Story. Well, they had a bunch of dancers, but they didn't have very many singers. So they actually had me backstage singing the singing voice for Tony, and then had somebody do the dancing and the overdubbing, because I really didn't want to do much of the dancing. I got 9 left feet, so.
Man, that's, what's your daytime job?
My daytime job, I work at Kenai Peninsula College. I'm an IT services professional, so.
Okay. So you could find performers kind of anywhere. I mean, IT departments, I mean, no offense, the nerdiest of the nerds, you know, in deep in the bowels of buildings.
Yeah, I get told I'm the wrong kind of IT guy because I like to be social, get out there, talk to people. Mm-hmm. You know, you picture an IT guy want to hide in a closet, and most of the other staff members there would love to hide in a closet all day. But me, I got to be out there talking to people.
Man.
I feel like I'm the representative for IT at KPC, so.
Well, I hope you get to keep your job after the governor's done.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I could go on, but let's stick to the topic at hand here, sir.
You probably should. You know what I found out looking up this is that lyrics for this credit Anthony Newley, the Anthony Newley, like the 1950s and 60s British performer. I had no idea. Did he write Candyman?
I don't know who wrote Candyman.
But I mean, it's him. He's like one of the Rat Pack. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's big time. So I'm glad you guys have songs from the original in the play, I guess. I guess that's where that was going. I was just astounded that the Anthony Newley was in this, or, you know, behind the lyrics.
I want to direct back to Sarah, because this is her first big role, but she has done a little bit of other stuff for us.
Oh, tell us.
Oh. Well, I created the poster design for the show, and also
awesome.
The program cover. And through my job at the Soldotna Chamber of Commerce, where I'm the Tourism and Education Director, I've learned quite a few little tips in the social media marketing arena. So I have lended a helping hand, help pushing out different promotions that the Kenai Performers have been doing for our Willy Wonka production. So,
are you on stage?
I am on stage.
Did you already tell us who you were?
Yes.
Oh, you're Violet's mother. Of course, you're wearing the purple.
Yeah.
Do you get to sing?
I do get to sing a little bit.
Oh.
That's not my forte. So I'm one of those that I like to lend my facial expression and the acting ability over the singing ability.
However, she sounds fabulous on stage. In fact, I had 2 compliments yesterday about how good you sound on stage.
Well, thank you.
Wow. Tell me more about these songs that had been instrumentals that were then lyricized. Are these Is anybody going to recognize any of this, or is it something like super new that they really should go see?
They'll recognize the actual score, but maybe not the lyrics.
And so it'd be, I guess, people who weren't singing in the movie are singing in the play?
Well, an example is Cheer Up, Charlie.
Oh, okay.
It was in the movie, but it had no words. So.
Ah. Who sings it? Oh.
Yeah, I sing it. Well, I sing it in addition to Mr. and Mrs. Bucket and the other grandparents. So.
And you sing it in a grandpa voice, too.
Yes. So that was kind of the idea behind going more gravelly than old person voice. You know, because you can have the old person voice, but it's really hard to sing that way. And I was trying to kind of continue the illusion on. And I thought, you know, Mr. Bucket, you know, he's a working man. You know, any working man I've ever met in my life has a gravelly voice. You know, that's kind of how he is. And it doesn't matter how old he is, you know. Yeah, it could be from the chocolate fumes. That's true.
I read that Roald, Mr. Dahl, worked in a candy factory when he was young. Is that the deal?
I do believe that I did read that.
Yeah.
And that's what inspired the story.
Yeah. Yeah. We have about 10 minutes left here. If you'd like to give us a call, 283-8414. Lines are open. Operators are standing by if you'd like to talk about Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka. And that is R-O-A-L-D, capital D-A-H-L, apostrophe S. Willy Wonka. Why isn't it Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Does anybody know? I find all of this confusing, just a little bit.
So even more confusing is that this story has also been made into an opera in 2010, which is called The Golden Ticket. So talk about confusing, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, The Golden Ticket, Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka. Yeah, it's pretty confusing sometimes.
Yeah. The opera in Italian or English or German?
Well, since I haven't seen it, not really sure. I thought it was in English because I just, you know, Googled it too and was looking at it, but...
How do you feel about your actors, you know, after they've got their part, maybe, or maybe even before coming into the audition, having consumed all that is Willy Wonka beforehand? Is that good or bad from a director's perspective?
Well, you know, we do kind of what we call a cold audition. We don't ask people to prepare anything ahead of time. So when they come in, you know, everybody in a group is usually taught maybe the one song that everybody's going to be singing. And so then we're listening to the voices and that kind of stuff. And then we'll do a little bit of a dance routine to see if people know if they have two left feet or two right feet or can follow direction. And then sometimes there's even a portion where we'll do cold reads, maybe a little scene between, you know, Charlie and Grandpa Joe, so we can see if, you know, they can pick up character in their reading, you know, and that kind of stuff. So all different things that give us clues as to how they're going to come in.
Yeah, and during those cold reads, sometimes you can already see a chemistry between the actors, and so that makes a good pairing. I'll tell you, when Veruca and Mr. Salt, who were Ian and Charlie, what's Charlie's last name?
Bird.
When they read, it was a no-brainer. That's because they already had a chemistry. And we knew that they would be perfect on stage together.
The same with the Gloops.
Yeah. I mean, we just knew that they were our Gloops.
I was going to ask if you cast one part and then try to see if you've got some compatibility with others when you're casting further parts.
We do, and sometimes if we are having a hard time deciding which way to go, we'll have them come back for a second read or sing to try to fit the right cast together.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine in a community theater in a place this size, maybe, that people don't come with giant egos.
I would say that's true.
Yeah.
And this is a very nurturing, fostering group of people. I mean, you hear horror stories about actors, and especially in the media and Hollywood. Our actors are not that way. They help each other. If someone's having a hard time getting dressed backstage, people help them. They help put their gloves on, help get props out and set pieces out. There's really not a lot of ego, because it takes us all to put it on.
Mm-hmm. How many folks work behind the scenes here in this play?
I bet there's as many behind the scenes as there are on stage.
Really? Another
50?
40
plus.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
By the time you get your set crew, your backstage crew, your front house crew, I bet there's pretty much about 40.
You know,
about the same size.
And they're all volunteers, right?
All volunteers.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And also the orchestra. You know, that's, we have a, 14 piece orchestra that are all volunteers also.
Wow. What does it cost to put on a play this size? two full weeks with a Thursday?
So our budget on this production was $42,000.
Oh.
Last year was one of our largest that Kenai Performers ever put on, Shrek the Musical, and it was right at $52,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that, are these prices going up or down? I know there's a little fluctuation
going up there. Going up.
Wow.
So you have your licensing, which is a great big portion of that budget. You have the renting of the venue, which just this last year got raised, which caught, you know, it's a little bit off guard and that kind of stuff, because we do try to keep our prices reasonable for people to come to, and that's probably one of the things that everybody likes to gripe about is, you know, the cost of the tickets and that kind of stuff. But if you go to Anchorage and go to any of their Broadway series up there, you know, I'm going to pay $60 for a ticket. So we have not hit $60 yet. Our ticket prices right now for adults is $26. And for students and seniors in military, it's $21.
Yeah. And active military.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I still think they're really, really reasonable compared to going to, you know, a movie. You take your whole family to a movie, you're probably going to spend more with the concessions and everything in there. And this is live theater. This is an experience, you know, that you can't get over, you know, live theater. It's always different. It's always fun. And once it's imprinted in your brain, you know, it's there.
You know, I enjoy going to live theater. I hate going to movies. And the reason is the crowd. I hate a loud crowd in a movie theater, but if a crowd is engaged in live theater, you know, so am I. You know what I mean?
Oh, we love interactive audiences, because then you know that you hit the mark. If they're having fun and they're reacting to what's going on stage, we as directors hit the mark.
You know, I was going to ask, you know, the book and all the films and such are full of special effects, flying elevators and people going through tubes and falling in giant rivers of blueberry juice or whatever it was. And I was going to ask, how hard is it to do all this stuff? And then I remember, well, you know, Kenai Performers have pulled off The Wiz. and you know, all these other things. It couldn't be too hard.
We are not going to give away our special effects. What we are going to tell you is that you're going to have an experience, and we are using a lot of technology.
Whoa. So no sneak edit, nothing?
Nothing. Come see the show.
Yes. That's called enticement.
Yes. Oh. I mean, but it is hard when you're thinking about how is Augustus going to fall in a river of chocolate.
And those are the most challenging two things. You know, when you're looking at a script and you're thinking, ooh, how are we going to do this? You know, do we have any ideas? What? How can we get this, you know, point across, you know?
How are we going to do a Wonka Vader?
Yes.
To crash through the ceiling?
Uh-huh.
Right.
How are we going to get Grandpa Joe and Charlie flying? So, yeah, there's lots of different questions.
Wait, when did they fly?
So
fizzy
they go into
bubble
the,
room.
Yeah, fizzy lifting oh, bubble yeah. room, and
oh,
they
yes.
drink that soda, and all of a sudden they start flying up
I
in
forgot
the air.
About that.
And I want to point out, all of the cast do their own stunts. So. No stunt people coming swapping in, so...
He really, after last night, he really wishes somebody would.
Well, it worked when they did it. Let's just say that.
Man.
Worked when I did it.
Me too. But not the first time.
Well, you yes. don't want to miss Ron Dahl's, Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka just to see Grandpa Bucket flying, I think. Though you know the monkeys from The Wiz flying, that was pretty good too. Weren't anything like that?
I didn't see that production, so I don't know.
No.
Robert, are you in a harness? Are you flying over the audience at all?
No.
Yeah, we're not going to give away too much. Like I said, you're going to have to come see the show, and you really should come see the show. It's going to be great.
It opens tomorrow night at what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock Thursday. There's a Friday show and Saturday show at 7?
7, yeah. Okay. All our evening shows are at 7, and our only matinee that we're doing is on Sundays at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
But and the doors to the auditorium open at 6:30, so people will be in the lobby until 6:30, and then we'll open the doors, and 1:30 on Sunday.
That's Abby the new sound.
Oh, yes. Shaylin's dog, correct.
Yeah.
Oh.
Peering through the window at us. Let's see. We've covered everything on my list here, I think.
Okay. Yay.
Do you guys have anything else you'd like to add about the your experience with the performance?
I would.
Okay. Go ahead.
This has been a great experience with a great cast, a great crew, and thanks to everyone.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, thank everybody.
Thanks, and just want to say, come out and see a really good show that, you know, everybody has worked really hard on.
Well, I want to thank all of you for coming in, Terry Burdick, Donna Schoenberg, Sarah Hondell, and Robert Lewis. How many people call you Robert Lewis Stevenson? Every day?
No, not so much. But there are a few other Robert Lewises in this town, so sometimes I get accused of winning radio contests.
Well, you've been listening to the Kenai Conversation here on Public Radio, KDLL. We are listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.